This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Junkies and Plunkies, welcome to the NWA Saturday Special. The question is, will Trevor Murdoch be the future NWA World Heavyweight Champion? I don't know. Which way is the NWA going with this feud with Nick Aldis and Trevor Murdoch? We're going to break it down tonight here on the NWA Saturday Special. NWA Power that took place on the on June 15th from the GPB studios, but I can't do this alone. I have to bring in my partner. We call him the Podfather, right? Yeah. The PTB Podfather. That is Scott Criscolo. Podfather, how are you tonight?
Hello there, Doctor. Always good.
It's fun, you know, and you know, we got a lot to talk about tonight based on the show, and
we do, you know,
the big feud in the NWA, just like I mentioned at the beginning, is Trevor Murdoch and Nick Aldis. Now the question is, which we'll break down tonight, is this what the NWA fans really want? Do we want to see this rematch? I don't know.
I don't know. You know, a lot of, first of all, again, Doctor, it's always good to be with you. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. You know, that was a question that I've kind of thought about all week because you read somewhere the buys came out for When Our Shadows Fall.
Yeah, I'll tell you, because I want to, you know, make sure we give credit or, you know, discredit it depending on where it comes. It was from Hannibal, Hannibal TV, you know, anybody that follows that on YouTube. Yep. In one of his news reports, he had mentioned that that there was only about 500 buys for the last pay-per-view. And that's not good. If that is that true, and I think he heard that report through Dave Meltzer. So let's, you know, I don't want to also get, you know, that's basically what he was saying. I don't really read Meltzer stuff, so I don't know. But that's not good if that's truly the case. Now, is it? Let's break this down. We might as well start off with this, and then we'll break down the show. Is it the main event, Trevor Murdoch versus Nick Aldis, or what you and I have kind of been bitching about and speaking about, you know, on the air and off the air? You can't announce matches, you know, a week or two before the pay-per-view comes up. If you know, you know, we knew about this pay-per-view for what, about a month and a half, I would say.
Yeah.
And we were just starting to get matches maybe a week or two before, before the actual event took place. So that doesn't really get people psyched up. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, we talk sometimes offline with some of our PTB compadres, and, you know, Sean Kidd's not a big fan of Trevor Murdoch in this feud. And we were kind of like, well, you know what, it'd probably be a pretty good match. And it was. But maybe he's right. Maybe that's not a draw. Maybe this is something that, maybe NWA fans don't want to see. I don't know. I mean, and they were saying something in the report, and I don't remember because, you know, I listened to it a lot of times when I'm working in the background, something where, you know, there was only like, you know, one of the tapings was only like 30 fans and they couldn't get more than that. I don't know if there was a restriction or if they truly were having a tough time selling tickets. But again, some of the stuff just opened up really at the last minute. So we have to maybe this is one pay-per-view we kind of give them a pass on. But again, do people want to see Trevor Murdoch versus Nick Aldis? It's really tough to tell when you have small studio crowds to tell if people are really into Trevor Murdoch or not. I don't think it's Nick Aldis. I don't think people are targeting him. I think he's a great heel. But I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I think it's a mixture of both. I think it's a mixture of the pay-per-view of the main event, as well as, you know, you have to give a little bit more time in pumping it up. You have to start thinking about like the big companies as much as you don't want to. You want to be different. But you have to think about the big companies when you're promoting, and you have to start getting the word out there a little sooner than a week, week and a half, 2 weeks before the actual event.
That, I think most of it is that reason. One of the things that I found very interesting when Billy Corgan was on with Jericho on his podcast, mm-hmm. is he wants the NWA to be different. He wants to have it very episodic and,
mm-hmm.
yep. and I'm getting a little concerned that Billy is not doing enough wrestling background and the creative aspect of it is overshadowing the fact that that it's not being booked as a wrestling territory. And I think even though there's a ton of producers that are wrestling, obviously have wrestling background. If you look at the credits on Power, you'll see the producers and most of them, and it's Nick Aldis. And now you see the name Carlene Begnaw. That's actually Jazz. So she's,
I think Burt Prentice is involved as well.
Yep. And Aaron Stevens, his real name, Aaron Haddad. But I get telling a story and I do like long-term booking, but at the same time, I feel like they during this build that we had between Back for the Attack and When Our Shadows Fall, that the focus was very much on Aldis and Trevor Murdoch. And I feel like the rest of the feuds, the rest of the storylines kind of started late, and then they just kind of dumped them on us, you know, in the last 8 days before the pay-per-view. And if you're trying, this isn't WWE, this isn't AEW, where you've got zombies or, you know, you have blanketed fans that are just going to get the pay-per-view sight unseen. You're trying to build an audience, and you're trying to make some headway against other promotions. Throwing out your card, you know, 6 days before the pay-per-view or 7 days, maybe 8 days, is not going to fly. Now, we have a lot of time, and we'll continue tonight on Power. We've got a huge amount of time between now and the weekend of August 28th and 29th, which is the big weekend in St. Louis. With all the build, and them being in a regular building and you know, a whole summer of creative to write and to execute. If they get 500 buys after that, then if I'm Billy Corgan, I'd be concerned.
Yeah, and again, this is Dave Meltzer's reporting. I don't know how factual, and it's very hard to get these stats because we heard, I think, Billy Corgan in some interviews out there that Fight TV was very happy with like the subscriptions like we have, I think with the Back for the Attack, things were doing better than they expected. So I'm not really sure, you know, even so, I think obviously maybe the buy rates were down. Now, again, I don't want to give any excuses here. So we have to see how things are going, but and we're seeing it in our regular life now. The world kind of opened up all of a sudden. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't want to say the world. I should say the United States. especially the areas like our area where it was a little more strict. Mm-hmm. Everything started opening up. Everybody's traveling. Everybody's going. So graduations. There's just so much going on. I mean, it's become overwhelming for us in our lives. Like all of a sudden, you know, there were a lot of times during this pandemic, even though we were somewhat busy, but where you kind of had like open weekends and there was not much going on. But now it's like something going on every single minute of the day, it seems like. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think there's a lot. And, you know, we can't compare pay-per-view buys. You know, WWE can, you know, obviously now they don't have to worry about it with the network. But, you know, even AEW, you know, what used to be sucky buy rates, you know, 20 years ago now is a good buy rate now because there's mm-hmm. just so much out there. I mean, when you think about all the streaming services out there and all the TV stations, and it's just – there's just so much out there. So they're mm-hmm. they're competing with a lot, and I think they're just trying to get a niche. And again, I don't know what it takes for Billy for it to be profitable for him. Is it 1,000 buys? Is it 5,000 buys? Is it 10,000 buys? Where is it profitable for him? We don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't know these things. And that's why I would really – I mean, I know you and I were going to keep trying. I'd love to get him on the show and just ask him these questions. I don't know if he could answer them or not, but – these are the kind of things that I want to know, the little bit of the business side of it, just to know, you know, when we're sitting here, we're making our critiques that maybe, you know, maybe 500 buys to them is, yeah, it's low, but it's not horrible. I don't know. I mean, I can't foresee 500 buys being that great for paying your talent, but what do I
know? Right. You know? Well, 500 buys times 20 bucks is $10,000. Which is not a lot.
No, it's not. And that's all that. And then the stream, you know, Fight TV gets their cut.
Right. So not, I don't know what they good. Ate. I don't want to say that Trevor Murdoch is not a good challenger. He's trying to tell the story.
I think he's doing a good job. I just don't know if he has the it factor. But what am I going to say here? It didn't prevent us from buying it because we're just such fans. But if you've got fans on the periphery that are trying mm-hmm. to see, oh, well, I want to test this thing out. And, you know, mm-hmm. those old WWE fans, if they weren't really total fans of Trevor Murdoch, is that going to really do it for them? I don't know. You know, mm-hmm. probably right. not. Now, is the Pope versus Nick Aldis going to sell more pay-per-view buys? I don't know.
Maybe. Because the Pope has a little bit, I think, has a little more wide reaching. He was a singles champion elsewhere.
Right.
He not only was big in WWE, but he was also big in Impact. I am optimistic.
They need another guy. They need a big name. I'm not going to lie to you here. I mean, I think at this point, I don't know if he could afford it. You know, I know people saying, oh, how about Braun Strowman? But Braun Strowman was making some pretty decent money in WWE. Is he going to want to come to the NWA? Is he going to make that kind of money? No, he's not.
I honestly think he's going back. So,
going back to WWE?
Yeah, I think from what I've been reading, and we talked about it on Main Event the last couple episodes, a lot of people think that Nick Khan told Vince that he needs to cut some of this fat, but to bring them back at just a discounted rate. You know, Braun Strowman's was making over $1 million a year through 2023. And what the fuck was he doing? Jobbing to Roman Reigns. You could get people to do that for half the price. So I think Nick Khan is being adept at not being drunken sailors in WWE, particularly if there is a rumor of sales happening. Now, we don't want to go off the path and talk about this.
I don't think
Braun Strowman's going to be a free agent. I think he's going back to WWE. To your point about the NWA needing a big name, of course, it wouldn't hurt. Not at all.
As they're building these other guys up, you may need something to kind of, you know, pique an interest to those, like I call them, the periphery fans, the fans that are, you know, like, they're kind of getting bored of AEW and WWE, looking for something else. And, you know, instead of going to Impact or Ring of Honor, let's try this NWA thing out. So you may just need a name. I mean, when AEW started, they brought in Chris Jericho. That was very big for them. I mean, people don't realize it, but that's a big household name. Now, I'm not saying that the NWA needs to make a splash like that. He doesn't have that kind of funding to do that. But you do have any. I mean, listen, some of the other names they have there were you know, good high mid-card names at one time in either WWE or Impact, or maybe even main eventers in Impact. So it's just, you know, look at already. I mean, think about NWA last year. We had James Storm. We had Eddie Kingston.
Mr. Anderson, Ken Anderson.
Yeah, exactly. Names that people were, you know, really familiar with. And I'm probably missing a few more that we lost over the year. So I think we just need to see how this next pay-per-view goes, and then we could really judge it. And I would love to really, you know, some of the numbers and stuff I threw out was just stuff I heard. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if they're 100% factual, but, you know, in this business, do you really always get the total truth? I mean, really, if you think about it. But I think, you know, as we break down the show, which we'll do here in a few minutes, I think we'll see where it's going. It's one of those shows, I have to say, out of all the times, I probably will have to watch again. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I'm going to be honest, before we break it down, it just wasn't grasping my attention like it normally does. I'm wondering how everybody else feels out there. How about you? I know we watched it together, but usually I'm glued. And I found myself kind of like I said, if I find myself kind of like looking on my phone or doing something else, that means it's not capturing my attention. And I normally don't do that during these shows.
Right. We'll let you know ahead of time. Nick Aldis was not on the show this week. And that's good. We don't need Nick Aldis on every week. We don't need overexposure. We saw some new faces. And the matches were not bad, but I think we're seeing a lot of people that are not captivating. And I'll explain that as we move ahead. But I thought this week was fine. Again, it was a rare week that we didn't have Nick Aldis. We haven't had Thunder Rosa since the pay-per-view. There was one result that kind of bugged me, and I'll mention it when we get to it. But there was one match result that really kind of got on my nerves because I didn't think it fit after what happened last week. But that's neither here nor there. Let's head to the GPB studios for this past week's episode of Power, which took place, which dropped, as Dr. G said, on Tuesday. We have our full boat at the desk. Joe Galli, Velvet Sky, Tim Storm. Tim Storm is looking more and more like a shoe every week. Good Lord. Either his collar's too tight or he's shaking and baking. Because, woo! Good Lord.
Man, he's definitely has that subscription to the tanning bed place.
he's getting close to, like, President Trump colors. I don't want him starting to turn to, like, you know, into like some type of strange, you know, alien. Yeah, some strange orange alien thing. But anyway, so we open with we go to Kyle Davis at the desk, and out comes the aforementioned Trevor Murdoch, who kind of has the same kind of interview. He's angry. He's pissed off. You know, he says that Nick Aldis, I'm still in your head. You know, I had you beat it when our shadows fall. Yada yada yada. Not a bad promo. I like how he said, even your wife, and we all know who she is. That was good. I enjoyed that. So he's trying to keep the energy up. But I got to be honest, Doctor, I'm wondering if we're going to get a title match before NWA 73. on August 29th. I can't see this feud going all the way to the end of August.
I mean, again, years ago, you could book things like that, but I don't know. Yeah, I hope that they do this before.
But I do see one more match between Nick Aldis and Trevor Murdoch for Sweet Charlotte.
I think
but
it'll
I
be
can't
before
see it happening on August 29th. I can't see this feud going the next, you know, 9 weeks. I can't see that happening.
I do think it'll be before the pay-per-view. Do you think?
I can't. I just can't. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I like Trevor Murdoch. I really do. I just can't see this going 9 weeks till August 29th. I can't.
No, I can't either, because I think you have to – I think what's going to happen – something's going to happen between those two in that match, which will set up the next feud for the pay-per-view. Now, what it's going to be, I have no idea. Is somehow Pope going to get involved? Is Trevor actually going to win the championship? I couldn't tell you.
Hmm.
But
I don't either, but I just can't see.
We can't go another over 2 months, though, of that, though.
No. I have a feeling.
Mean, you just can't.
No. I have a feeling we're going to get. I have a feeling we'll have. We are going to get a Aldis Murdoch 2 sometime in the next month.
Now, I do like old school booking. You know, like you said, they didn't have Aldis on this week. You know, it's kind of like back in the 80s how they used to book, you know, because you only had the big four pay-per-views for WWE. But I can't see this going on for another 2 months. I think you might kill the audience a little bit. And not saying because it's Trevor Murdoch, I just think for any kind of feud, I think, you know, having a feud for a few months is fine these days, but I think I don't know if you could do the 4 or 5 month thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't see it.
Right. No, go ahead. Make your point. Sorry.
No, I feel that we just need to see how this all plays out, and hopefully we'll get a main event that will really get it. Not just us, that we'll buy it, because we're the junkies and flunkies, right? It's getting those other fans that are kind of like on the fence of where they want to go and where they want to spend their money.
I know. I think NWA is one of those things where is one of these cases where I think as we move ahead through 2021 and maybe start getting some live events, we'll start seeing, you know, more a big, you know, crowd starting to come back. That's what I think. But I do think between now and say, I'll even say like the week of. Like, let's see, I'm trying to do Tuesdays. Maybe like Tuesday, July 12th. July 10th is a Saturday. 11, 12. Let's say like Tuesday, July 13th, I think would be a great episode for Aldis Murdoch 2. Whatever you do there, you do there, and it sets us up for NWA 73.
And you need to have a big match on these if you're going to get people to buy the subscription. Now, I'm going to just... say something here. We'll talk about it for a minute. I know we want to get more into the show. Now, here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we knew they needed another revenue stream.
Right.
And I think because of COVID, we had no choice to go this route where they had to have the paid subscription. Now,
right.
When it was on YouTube and it was for free and they were getting 200,000-300,000 downloads, maybe more sometimes on the Power, you had this audience that it was open to everyone. At any time. So when you want to go on the road, people know about it. But now your audience is a little smaller now because now people have to pay to watch your product.
Right.
How is that going to translate when they go on the road? Just think about that. Just keep that in the back of your mind for when we're moving ahead here. Again, I understand why they had to do it, and it's a great deal for them with Fight TV, and it gives a revenue stream. But had COVID not happened, I don't think that was the model they were going to go, maybe eventually. You understand what I'm saying there? Because now your audience, where you had, you know, people downloading it 200,000-300,000 around the world, you have people viewing your product. Now the only way they could view your product is if they pay their $5. Now $5 is not a lot, but if people don't know enough about it to purchase it, that's the other thing, is that where's the NWA promoting itself? I mean, obviously on maybe on some wrestling websites and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, podcasts like ours, you know, probably helps. Just things. I'm just the business side of things, which I really like. I'm a little junkie for that kind of stuff, but some people, that bores people. But
no, I don't think so.
You know, that's just,
it depends on the age too. I guess it depends on how old you are as a fan, because that I think that's kind of a big deal.
I'm just trying to think. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to think of the logical points of how. Okay, if they were going to come here, just say they came here to Connecticut. And, you know, obviously they're going to find a small place where they could fit maybe 1,000 or 2,000 people up. And I can't think of a place right now off the top of my head, but maybe you could. How are you going to sell those 1,000 or 2,000 tickets? Besides pumping it up on your program. Obviously, they're going to have to get out there in the market with the radio stations, and they're going to have to spend some money.
Right. So, well, they got YouTube. I mean, they still have their YouTube channel.
They do, but I don't know. Are people flocking? I mean, I don't really watch it as much as I used to, because I used to get my power shows on there. So.
Well, hey, look, if NWA and AEW still have a partnership, maybe NWA could promote it on Dynamite one week. We had this conversation. Check out this past week's episode of Main Event, because me, Nate, and Steve had a pretty good conversation about all these partnerships that AEW has with like NWA and Impact, and are they one-sided? Are Impact and NWA getting what they want out of it? AEW seems to, but is Impact and NWA getting that?
But what is now, my question to you on this is that what is AEW getting out of it? If they're bringing the NWA stars to try to give them some exposure, what is AEW getting out of it?
Nothing.
Okay, so then it's not really a one-sided thing. But now it depends on what they decide to work out. But it would be nice.
One-sided creatively. Like, for instance, we talked about it this past week. We talked about it in this past week's episode, yesterday's episode of Main Event. Like, this past Saturday was Impact's Against All Odds pay-per-view. But the whole card was in Nashville, except the main event of Kenny versus Moose, which was at Daly's place. So Kenny shows up on Impact all the time as champion. Yet none of the Impact guys show up on Dynamite, and Kenny's feuds with Moose are not talked about on Dynamite. So I find that strange. Meanwhile, Thunder Rosa, now going by their whole rankings, Thunder Rosa, who is an NWA employee, is ranked number 3 in their women's rankings.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the deal is there. It would be nice, you know, again, to know a little more inside baseball on that. But right. It would be nice to see, now that AEW is also expanding and getting some more shows, it would be nice to see if they're going to have these partnerships. To see them highlighted a little bit more. Not obviously, listen, they're going to highlight their company first, and that's the way it should be. But if you could give a little pub to the smaller companies, wow, that's pretty big, because WWE is not going to do it. So forget it, guys. WWE fans, forget it. It's never going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I know that they think with Nick Khan things might change, and I know that, you know, with New Japan and all that stuff, but that's a big company, but they're not going to bring NWA guys on WWE television. And if they do, they're going to squash them. So it's not even worth even thinking about. But if AEW, who is, you know, the second company, you know, it's they're not in WWE's caliber in terms of I don't want to say popularity, because WWE's popularity, I think, is just there because, you know, they've been around forever. But I think that with AEW, if they will allow some of this stuff to be promoted, would definitely be beneficial, especially for the NWA. I mean, that would be very big if they had a show somewhere, and maybe some of their, remember, like I was telling you with AEW, now I know they're going to be expanding a little bit more. They're going to be maybe doing some house shows, but their guys need more work. I mean, mm-hmm. I think all wrestlers these days need, you know, some of the younger ones need more work, you know, working more than once or twice a week. So here's an opportunity on a house show to have maybe some guys, you know, some of their lower mid-card guys on AEW to maybe appear at some of these shows.
Mm-hmm.
Get some work in. They kind of have a name because they're on television. And it helps. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
sure.
know. It's going to be interesting. It's definitely the landscape change. I mean, COVID definitely changed some directions of, I think, all the companies. And they've had to think outside the box. So it's going to be interesting to see. I definitely would love to see how NWA, if they decide to go on the road, how they'll promote mm-hmm. themselves. Obviously, they're going to go into 500,000 seat places. Maybe occasionally mm-hmm. for a big pay-per-view like they were doing for the Crockett Cup last year. That place was maybe going to fit
3,000, 3,500. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So it would just be interesting to see how they're going to do that and how Billy's going to – remember, Billy's a touring artist. You know, you could use some of that way you do things in the music industry and the wrestling industry.
Sure.
So, that's just interesting. So I know we kind of took a, you know, different path here on what we're talking about. But as you can see, I'm not as excited about the show this week. So that's probably why we got on these stands.
You ducked it. But we do that on Main Event all the time, actually.
Yeah, but
listen, but I know this past week's episode, we didn't feel like we were avoiding talking about Hell in a Cell, so we talked about Olympic basketball for 15 minutes. So anyway, yeah, by the way, no, you haven't listened to the event yet? Great conversation.
Exactly. We're going to discuss the Mae Valentine backstage interview. Oh my gosh, she's awful.
Well, she's up next, and she's with Tyrus and Austin Idol. Idol starts complaining about the NWA fans, says that Tyrus will beat anybody in wrestling. He gloats about beating the Pope. Of course, he cheated. Out comes Jordan Clearwater, one of our NWA superstars. He's in a suit on behalf of Mr. G's.
It took me a minute to realize who it was, I have to be honest.
I didn't know either. Mr. G's wants to have a conversation with Tyrus and Idol in the conference room. Tyrus says that he'll meet with Clearwater and Mr. G's in the ring next week. So I don't know what the fuck's going on here, but obviously the feud between Tyrus and the Pope is not over.
It kind of keeps you a little intrigued what's going on there. Yeah, I like it.
We have our first match of the night. It is a triple threat, one of your favorite things. And you know what? You need to reach out to Billy Corgan and say, what the fuck is your obsession with triple threat matches?
Yeah.
Why does the NWA constantly have triple threat matches?
I think it's just to try to maybe get more people on the show in a short period of time.
Now, perhaps.
And remember, we're not seeing some of the big names, maybe like, you know, Tyrus is not really wrestling on the show, Nicole, because they're filming probably, what, 3 or 4 shows at a clip on each Correct. Day. I know that they do. Right. So they're obviously not going to. I mean, I know years ago they used to do that a lot, but they're not going to have them wrestle. Remember, when they wrestle squash matches, that's totally different than when you have, you know, a real competitive match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. It takes a toll on your body a little bit.
Right. But we had 2 triple threats. Of course, triple threat in our main event. It's a big one. We'll get to it. We have a women's triple threat match. We have a newcomer. Her name is Kenzie Page. She was only 19 years old. Yeah. I don't know if she's a local worker or if she's another one from Thunder Rosa's Mission Pro Wrestling. But newcomer, first time we've seen her on Power. And then we had Melina and my girl, Genocide. Now, here's the thing. After last week, when Genocide shoved Melina and told her to get and stop interrupting Camille's coronation as our women's world champion, I expected Genocide to come out and win this match and start kind of building her a little bit. Well, that didn't happen. Paige ducks a clothesline for Melina. This is it, the climax. Paige super kicks Melina. Paige yanks Melina off the top turnbuckle for a two count. Genocide sends Paige to the corner. Genocide with a running elbow smash, then with a corner clothesline, follows it with a short arm clothesline for a two count. She then applies the sharpshooter. Melina responds with a sleeper. Genocide backs Melina into the turnbuckles. Genocide dumps Melina back first on the canvas. Paige sends Genocide shoulder first into the steel ring post, and then Melina rolls Paige over to pick up the win. So Melina gets the win, but I got to be honest, and maybe, you know, I'm trying not to be biased here because everyone knows that Genocide's my girl, but I think after last week, I was expecting a Genocide victory. Now, she didn't get pinned, but if we thought we were going to get a Genocide, Camille Thunder Rosa rematch down the line, but are we going towards a Camille Melina feud down the line? Now, don't forget, not only, of course, do we have NWA 73 on Sunday, August 29th, but the day before, on Saturday, August 28th, we will have, of course, the NWA Empower, the all-women's pay-per-view produced by Mickie James. So yeah. Maybe they're getting things worked on for that women's pay-per-view. So I like the match. Match was fine. But I kind of thought Genocide.
Well, they're introducing a new. Now, Kenzie Page, just a little bit. I just looked her name up a little bit. I did find a Facebook page. She was trained by Dr. Tom Pritchard, Glenn Jacobs, and Ricky Morton. So the Pritchard, I think it's the Jacobs Pritchard Wrestling School or whatever. And Ricky Morton, I think they're both of those are, I want to say, in the Tennessee. Yeah.
Right. Well,
so
yeah.
So,
of course, they always play the Ricky Morton School ad.
So she is an independent wrestler. I think she's wrestled on AEW Dark before. So this is good, though, because you're introducing some new faces, because I'm sure some of these ladies are going to be on the all women's pay-per-view in August. So I think it's good to introduce some new ladies to the division.
I agree. I just I had no problem with Kenzie Page, not at all. I just expected Genocide to win the match there because I think they need to kind of build her up. Unless we are leaning towards a Camille versus Melina title match for perhaps the Empower pay-per-view on August 20th.
That's what it seems like they're going that route.
I have a feeling they're going that route as well. We get an Austin Idol vignette for
Austin Idol vignette. Come on.
You want to be on Power? The Universal Heartthrob with his fake hair. I mean, who knows if it's fake. May Valentine.
Pretty good. That's a pretty good one. You did good on that one.
You got to be on Power. Universal Heartthrob. You got to be NWA pay-per-view.
You may have to beat him on the, what's the Christmas thing that you do on the.
Oh, our PTB Christmas special.
Maybe you have to be, maybe you have to be Austin Idol now.
Yeah, have Austin Idol train El Gigante. That'd be pretty funny.
Austin Idol, Terry Funk having a conversation.
I know. Yeah. How's it going, Terry? I'm not doing so bad, Austin Idol. How are you? Doing really good. Want to come to my school? Oh, can I go to a school and teach about egg-sucking dogs? Okay. May Valentine interviews Camille, speaking of. Camille's pissed about what Melina did last week.
Oh, we weren't into the show.
I know. Camille says that Tom Latimer will win the National Heavyweight Championship. Camille will be looking outside the NWA for competition. That's very interesting. I caught that in her interview. Outside the NWA for competition.
Interesting.
I have a theory that I'm going to mention at the end of the... I'll mention it now because this might be the last women's segment of the show. I'm calling it now, Doctor. Remember it here. You heard it on the Saturday, June 19th episode of the NWA Saturday Special. On August 28th at the NWA Empower pay-per-view, you will see either AEW Women's Champion Britt Baker or Impact Knockouts Champion Deonna Purrazzo. You will see one of them on August 28th
at the... You know what? I can't even say I'm going to argue with you on that one.
One of them will be at... one of them will be at that pay-per-view. But...
Be kind of cool.
We'll think about it. So next up, PJ Hawks and Sal Rinaro are with Kyle Davis talking about title opportunities. But then who comes out to interrupt? And I kind of enjoyed this. Colby Carino, son of Place to Be Wrestling Network alumnus, Steve Carino. I enjoyed him cutting off these two knuckleheads. And there will be a triple threat match in the coming weeks to determine the number one contender for the NWA World Television Championship. So keep an eye on that. Triple threat. Wow, I'm stunned. Triple threat match. So next up, our second match of the night. What do you think of Colby Carino? What do you think of PT Band alumnus Steve Carino's son? Think he's got the makeup?
Yeah, I think he's got
good, decent stick work.
Yeah, definitely could be a great heel.
Yep. Well, his dad was. So maybe Dan McGinn.
I have never seen him in the ring yet, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Maybe Dan McGinn can manage him. He can pay him in Doritos as long as he gets half the bag. All right. Anyway, let us move on. Let us move on to our next match. One half of the NWA World's Tag Team Champions, Aaron Stevens, taking on PJ Hawks, the kid we just is that his son? Yeah, the one that was just in the interview segment. So they wrestle. They wrestle probably for about 3 or 4 minutes. And then out of the blue, La Rebellion comes out, Bestia 666 and Mecha Wolf, and they beat the shit out of PJ Hawks. They hit their awesome powerbomb flying backstabber combo finisher, which I think is fucking sweet. They're all makeup, you know, and everything. And oh my God, they are awesome looking.
Yeah,
Luke Hawks, PJ's dad, comes out. He tries to get the save. They hit the finisher on him, leave him dead in the ring. And La Rebellion, who of course won that four-way match at When Our Shadows Fall, demand an NWA World Tag Team title shot. Dr. G, I had said that, I didn't know if they were, I was curious if they were borrowed from the Mexican, you know, from like AAA or IMLL or whatever. If these guys are sticking around, sign me up, because they are awesome. They're expert workers in the ring. They have the menacing face paint. I love these guys.
Well, if they are true NWA employees, they're great additions to the roster. No doubt about it.
Yeah. The one thing that Billy's doing and the rest of the crew is they are building the tag division, which we've been talking about needed help. The match, of course, ended in no contest. Here's my thing. The whole father-son thing, PJ Hawks and Luke Hawks, good workers, but not enticing me, not engaging me. I don't know. They're just there.
Yeah.
You know,
I want to see them get their asses kicked like we just
said. Yeah, that's perfect. I really think Sal Rinaro needs to get his ass kicked next. So, Mae Valentine
is kind of like a funny character, though. Like he's
like Jameson.
Yeah.
Mae Valentine has a backstage interview with the mysterious masked wrestler. Remember the masked wrestler that apparently only Billy Corgan knows who it is. But then all of a sudden, one of our other favorite tag teams, Dr. G, our man Slice Boogie, and the big hammer, Marche Rocket, carries around the rocket, if you know what I mean. And they start throwing some shade at the masked wrestler, and you know, Slice Boogie always sizes up Mae Valentine. You know, he wants to, you know, Boogie the Slice, if you know what I mean. Maybe Marche wants to drop the rocket, you know.
He's just making up his own storylines.
Do you think those three other assholes on that other show, you know, talk about these kind of things? Slice Boogie measuring up Mae Valentine for future Boogie Slice, you know? Marche fires the rocket. No. Hello, you beautiful people. Please. Hi, beautiful people. You're so beautiful.
Yeah, we're not calling any of our people beautiful people.
make me want to fuck
good people, but now we're not calling you beautiful. Sorry.
Great wrestling fans. You're our junkies and flunkies.
Exactly.
Hi, beautiful people. as we found out last week on the show, Doctor, there is a pair of, guess what? Triple threat matches.
OMG.
Yep. A pair of triple threat matches to determine finalists in a winner-take-all match for the vacant NWA National Championship. The participants for next week's match, the two members of Strictly Business, former champion Chris Adonis, who keeps saying the belt is his, but it's obviously not because he forfeited it, and Tom Latimer, but out walks The End, Odinson, and of course, Pyro, who will be the third member. And Pyro says, I don't give a shit about either of you two jerk-offs. I'm walking out the winner of that match, and I will face the winner of the other match, and I will be the national champion, and no one gives a shit about either of you two clowns, which is pretty much what Pyro said. And of course, Latimer, so we'll see. So that match is next week. The main event on this week's past week's show is the other triple threat. The match is JTG. Money.
Yeah.
Our man Fred Rosser. We love Fred. And El Rudo, who was Sal Renaro's tag partner at When Our Shadows Fall. So the winner of this match will get a shot, will get a slot in the final match that will determine the vacant national champion. So the winner of this triple threat and the winner of next week's triple threat will wrestle for the national
champion. Now, here's the question. Do they crown a national champion before NWA 73?
I would think so. You're not going to let that thing hang. Like, you're not going to have these two triple threats and then hang that one match for, like, 7 weeks. Nah. We'll have a national champion crowned on Power, and then they can... Then we could start a feud between whoever wins and somebody, and then we'll have a match at in St. Louis. Speaking of, I have a theory. More theories coming from the Podfather. We'll talk about it at the end of the show. Because I'm trying to take into account now that they won't be in the GPB. They're actually going to be at the Chase. So there is going to be room to do things. Maybe some stips. You know what I mean, Doctor? For catching the cut of my jibe. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that in a second. So... I loved it. I thought this was a great match. I did. Our attention might have been wagging a little bit when we were watching, but I did pay attention to pretty much this whole match. El Rudo's a solid worker, but I loved the match between JTG and Fred Rosser at When Our Shadows Fall, and their chemistry is amazing. You know, both WWE alumni, and you know, looking great here. So, in the climax, Rosser with rapid-fire haymakers. Then he headbutts Rudo. Rudo then reverses out of the Irish whip from Rosser. Rudo ducks a clothesline. Rudo then drops Rosser with the STO for a two count. JTG punches Rudo in the back. Then Rudo reverses out of the Irish whip from JTG, but JTG hits a drop-down uppercut. JTG then drops Rudo with the reverse sling blade for a two count. Rosser with two headbutts. Then a blistering chop, but then he ducks a clothesline from JTG, ducks a clothesline from Rosser. JTG hits the net breaker for two. Rudo raining down haymakers, but then drills JTG with the brainbuster for a two count. Good move. Rudo drives his knee into the midsection of Rosser. Rudo dumps Rosser out of the ring. Rudo, you know, kind of toys around and postures around the ring, but then JTG connects with his finisher. You know what his finisher's called?
I love it.
The Brooklyn's Edge. And JTG.
Money.
Is going to be in the final. So JTG will face either Pyro, Tom Latimer, or Chris Adonis for the vacant NWA National Championship.
Good stuff.
Good main event. And then that's it. JTG does a quick promo with Kyle Davis, and we're done. So... Not a terrible show, now that we really break it down, Doctor. I think you and I are so used to seeing our guy, the world's heavyweight champion, Nick Aldis, that when he's not on, we kind of feel the show's not as... But I'm okay with that. As an objective fan, it's okay to have other guys on.
No, it is. You know? And one of those shows, like I said, I'll probably go back and watch it this weekend again just to kind of get a better feel for it. Maybe I just wasn't in the right place at the time, but it wasn't a horrendous show. Please don't think I'm saying that. I just it didn't flow like some of the other shows did as well.
Well, we also, you know what I also think it was, two doctors. I think we saw a lot of people that we're not used to seeing, like El Rudo and Sal, and we got our first kind of real character look at Colby Carino. So it was very... What I liked actually about it was a little different. It wasn't as formulaic of normal Power shows. I have a feeling this coming Tuesday we will have Power, and then I think the week after we will have a Power Surge, and then we'll have another fresh tapings. So I thought the show was fine. The matches were good. We had three matches, two triple threats, and a no contest. And I have to say, the galley, there's even a triple threat of announcers. Triple threats everywhere, Dr. G. They're doing it to you on purpose. even the announced team, Galley, Tim Storm, and Velvet Sky are actually starting to gel pretty well. I have to say, I think they're starting to gel.
They're getting a little better, yes. Again, it's going to take some time. We knew that. And obviously, they were working on a whole weekend of shows together, you know, when they were recording all these. So you get more and more comfortable as the time goes on.
Right. No, I agree with you. And so overall, this was a good show. Not as much sparkle as normal Powers. We saw only a few minutes of Camille. The Pope, by the way. The Pope did commentary for the main event. So Velvet Sky and Tim Storm kind of exited, and it was just Joe Galley and our world's television champion, the Pope, doing commentary. And I tell you, with every passing week, I don't know what Sean Kidd thinks. I don't know if you've guys talked about it in this past week's episode of NWA Croc and Roll, but I'm starting to kind of warm up to the white leathered television title belt. Yeah. I don't warm up to it. I know you're old school. I know you like the Arn Anderson red.
I do, but I like the white one. You know, you gotta change things every once in a while.
Yeah, I think the white leather kind of matches the Pope's gear. He had a white leather jacket on. He was looking pretty sharp. Pope always is sharp. So there you go. There was this past week's episode of Power. A little different structure. Doctor and I were a little taken aback, but talking about it again and kind of going over it again, it really wasn't a bad show. We had two triple threat matches. We did have a no contest singles match, but I have to say, La Rebellion, high on my list right now. I am a little pissed. Genocide should have won that triple threat instead of Melina, but that's okay. And JTG is locked in for one of the two slots in that match to determine the vacant NWA national champion. This coming Tuesday, the June 22nd episode of Power, we will have the other triple threat between the two members of Strictly Business, Tom Latimer and Chris Adonis, and one half of The End, Paro. So that's definitely this coming Tuesday. And I think, Doctor, we're going to have some creative development with Strictly Business. Maybe, you know, Tom Latimer turns on Chris Adonis to win the match. I would love to see a JTG Tom Latimer match. Yes, that I would definitely love to see.
That would be a great match.
So we'll have to see. We'll see where this Trevor Murdoch stuff's going. So check it out.
We'll get some more clarity next week.
I think we will as well. So that'll do it for this nice brisk episode this week of the NWA Saturday Special. You could follow me on Twitter at PTBPodfather. You could follow the doctor on Twitter at Dr. GPTB. And you can follow the brand on Twitter at PTBN Wrestling. At PTBN Wrestling. And of course, follow the group, The Place to Be on Facebook. We have a lot of fun there. Also, go to the store, tpublic.com, type PTBW in the search. Doctor, I was talking with our art department this week. We're slowly starting to work out some things. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think we're getting excited now.
We're looking ahead for some alternate t-shirts, maybe something that says ciao. I think we'll have a Junkies and Flunkies, maybe. I think we're going to have, for the Place to Be podcast, I think we'll have a little mothership action. Yeah, so a lot of great stuff. A good week here on the PTB Wrestling Network. We had a ton of shows. We had Jacob, well, back on Monday, we had the Place to Be podcast. The final, it's very sad, Doctor, the final house show, televised house show, officially at Madison Square Garden. March 23rd, 1992, myself, JR, and Steve Bennett made a good show.
Was
so
that
check that
the
out.
The one with Undertaker and Vader or something?
No, not that Vader, was 97. No, Vader wasn't
that's
there.
That's 97. Okay.
No. That was, yeah. That was the last, that was the last televised, like, regular MSG house show.
Right.
The next one would be, the one you're talking about is March 16th, 1997. It was the week before WrestleMania 13. Then they wouldn't do one again until that one in October of 2015 that was on the network. We were at my brother Stag. Remember, we didn't watch it. We watched the Mets kind of hand a no-hitter to Max Scherzer by pretty much swinging and everything. Anyway, so that was the last, you like that? That was the last house show of the Federation era that was televised. So that was this past Monday on the Place to Be podcast. So join myself, my PIC, Mr. Rosero, and Steve Bennett. Jacob and Tyler continue their countdown of their GWCW matches. They did 20-11. Brand new episode of Highway to the Impact Zone with Logan Crosland and the guys. And you, Doctor, it was a big day yesterday. Double dip of power yesterday. If you're listening to this on Saturday, yesterday, of course, as I mentioned, we had a brand new episode of Place Be Nation's main event. Me, Nate, and Steve. We did some wrestling news with AEW, Impact. And we previewed Sunday's Hell in a Cell, which are tomorrow's, I guess, which is already, the card's already all fucked up from when we previewed it. But also yesterday dropping was the newest episode of NWA Crock and Roll. You guys concluded your series before they were Crockett. Anything you want to promote? Anything?
Well, any let stuff? Me tell you, there are some hidden gems in this past episode, and this before your Crockett stuff is just phenomenal. We're really having a good time with it. The show flows because we're just breaking down matches, and Sean's finding these gems that maybe some of them are good, some of them are bad, but it's like, you know, we just had a match, you know, with J.J. Dillon from the 60s. So to give you a little sneak peek.
Crazy. Yeah. Nice. So check that out. NWA Crock and Roll, part four of your four-part series, final part, before they were Crockett, I believe. Would you have the Sue's on?
Yeah.
The Sue's on, right? Yes. Yeah,
He does a great
Sean
job.
Kidd, the Kettleman, Callum McDougal, and Matt Souza. So check that episode out. This coming week, we'll have a new episode of With This Ring with Ryan and Cindy. We should have a new episode of The Returning. By the way, it's the first time I've had a chance to say this. He was dealing with some family stuff, so he took a little spell. But I am so happy that my man Ben Zondi is back with Row One, Seat One. We had his return episode a couple weeks ago. This coming Wednesday, we should be getting a brand new episode of Row One, Seat One. So, Ben, I love you, buddy, even though you guzzled me that awesome jigger, you know, that awesome moonshine 2 years ago at WrestleMania, where I barely remember the next 5 hours of my life. But damn, stuff was delicious. It's good to have Ben back. So Row One, Seat One, everybody. And we should have a new episode of Making Mount Rushmore Wrestling Edition with our man Andy Atherton. So check that out on Thursday. And actually, a bonus episode of Main Event will be this week.
You guys are really getting a little hot over there. You know what it is? You're getting a little jealous of Crock and Roll, so you're trying to do all these extra shows.
I'm always jealous of the Kettleman. But we want to get back to our regular schedule.
What?
We had to take a week
off.
You're
an abomination.
Well, that might be a shirt as well. we had to skip a week. I had some meeting I had to go to involving tennis or cricket or something. And we had to skip it. So we did a bonus week this week, and then this coming week is our regularly scheduled week, and we're gonna go back to February 2003 for our next classic TNA pay-per-view recap. So great week ahead on the PTB Wrestling Network. Of course, check out all the pods and the quad, the PTB Pop Experience, the Jenny Position, the No-So. I'll be making another No-So appearance very soon,
actually. Oh, look at you.
Well, the brand new show co-hosted by Mr. Rosero and Tim Capel. 9021 Bro? Somebody calls it? Or is it 9021 No So? That's what it's called. 9021 No So. And he is doing episode by episode of the greatest show of the 1990s, Beverly Hills 90210. So I'll be hopefully be on an episode very soon of that. So Dr. G was a Melrose Place fan, just to let everyone know.
Yeah, right.
He also liked the new dialect. So, no. Anyway, have a great weekend, everybody. enjoy Hell in a Cell on Sunday. Enjoy the week here on the podcast network. And we'll be back next Saturday morning. Who will be JTG's opponent for that future match? The NWA National Championship. We'll find out this coming Tuesday. Have a great week. I am Scott. He is the doctor. You are not.
Ciao.
Your lips, they speak lies and